So welcome back to our Monday night series on Tehillim for now, as we're going into doing these Tehillims in the main shul with the community, Baruch Hashem, such a chizik. We should know what a chizik it has been for the soldiers as well. When I went to Eretz Yisrael, Baruch Hashem, it was quite a trip. One of the things, as we went to each base and we were explaining to them that we care, that this is something that we think about a lot, because they couldn't understand, why are you giving of your time, your money, your resources, your headspace, why are you doing this to yourself? And we said, no, it matters to us. I think I mentioned also that I kept telling them, you know, we're thinking of you, we're davening for you, and they said, in New York, I hear it's pretty dangerous also, as we're looking over Gaza and watching literal strikes happen, where, you know, I hear it's dangerous in New York, and they're not wrong, it is pretty dangerous in New York, but not obviously the same as what's going on over there. But point is, different, definitely different. But the point is, I kept showing them and just explaining to them how we care. Think about all the things that our community has done, all of the incredible tzedakah. It's been amazing. And one of the things I showed them was a picture from one of our Tehillim. It was just a packed, packed room of everyone coming together at night to say Tehillim. And that is something which means a lot. There's a lot of different types of hishtadlis that we have to do in terms of this war. And that is certainly one of them. And we spoke last time about Tehillim 121. Tonight, let's talk about probably the most famous Tehillim. Maybe I shouldn't say it like that. Well, maybe it is, I don't know. But probably one of the more classic Tehillims when it comes to Tehillim 130. This is Shir HaMa'alos Mimama Akim Kirasicha Hashem. From the depths, Mimama Akim, this is what we know of Tshuvas Mimama Akim. Anyone know what that's from? The Tshuvas from the Holocaust, exactly. Rav Oshri wrote Tshuvos Mimama Akim, from the depths, and just the different shilas that came up in the times of the Holocaust, and just to see the strength of Jewish people in times of tzara, in distressing times, it's unbelievable to see. I remember so clearly one of the shilas that was asked was, there was a chassid who didn't eat gebruchs, right? So he couldn't have wet matzah on Pesach. And the shiloh went as follows. He asked Rav Asher, he said, for weeks before Pesach, he was trying to figure out how to get matzah for Pesach, because even though they were in the camps, they wanted to figure out how to get it. And he figured out a way to smuggle in some flour through some backwards channel, whatever it was. And it's a few days before Pesach, and they're about to go and have enough flour for their matzah, and they get caught. And he's caught with some flour in his pocket, and the guard beats the living daylights out of this guy and knocks out all of his teeth. And he's devastated, not because he lost all of his teeth, but because how's he going to eat his matzah? So he said, he was thinking to himself, the only way he could possibly eat the matzah is if he dunks it in water, and then he can have it. But that's a gebruchs issue, and he doesn't eat gebruchs. So these are the types of shilohs, but I forget about what the answer is. Just from the question, unbelievable, thinking about just the power in terms of the question. So Mima Makim, from the depths. Now I have a new title type of format. Whenever I need a title, so I'll type into ChatGPT what I want to talk about, and they'll make me a lot of different title options. All of these were from the depths, out of the depths, because this is known as Mima Makim. That's what this is known from. So I want to kind of go through these psukim and try to understand what we're saying, because we say this perek a lot, not just when we're in distressing times like now, and this happens to be the kapitel of Tehillim. We say after every davening now in our shul, shacharis and mincha, constantly we're going to say now in just a little bit at Tehillim over there. So it's not just because it's something we say all the time. We also say it on, when do we say it? Aser Shemei Tshuva, right? So we say it during the Aser Shemei Tshuva, Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur. We have some special relationship with this Mima Makim. There's actually a machlokas in the poskim whether you're allowed to have any sort of break in between Yishtabach and Baruch Hu, right? You normally go Yishtabach, Kaddish, and Baruch Hu. Normally, you're not supposed to have any hefsik between those, but we know that we say Shir HaMa'alos Mima Makim. And not only that, we open the Aron Kodesh for that, because this is clearly something which is extremely impactful and important. That seems to be something which we do not do very often. And the poskim point out that when we're dealing with something very serious, a major eis tzara, then we can go ahead and do so. And during the Aser Shemei Tshuva, when our lives are hanging in the balance, that is a very serious thing. So we say that maybe you'd be allowed to do that, which is what we seem to rely on. So let's just look through some of the psukim and give some ideas based on the psukim. And maybe as we say this chapter of Tehillim will have a totally different perspective, or maybe a deeper perspective, as to what's going on. So we start with Shir HaMa'alos, Mimama Akim Kirasicha Hashem, a song from the depths, a song of ascent, Shir HaMa'alos. We know there were 16 Shir HaMa'aloses, Shir HaMa'alosai, and what were they representing? The 16 were representing the 16 steps, right? The Levim would go and say these as they would climb up the steps. So as they would climb up the steps, they would say these. This is number 11 out of 16. And we say, Shir HaMa'alos Mimama Kim Kirasicha Hashem. Again, from the depths, I have called to you. So it sounds like we are trying to go and reach out to Hashem from a place of desperation. Now, there are a lot of different explanations as to what this means, mi ma'amakim, from the depths, and that it's in plural. So says the Malbim, this is talking about a spiritual and a physical type of feeling, being in the depths, that you just feel so lost. It's such a desperate situation physically and spiritually. And we know this happens to us in our everyday lives. It happens. Sometimes we're not feeling it. We're not feeling as inspired as maybe we're hoping that we can be. And we got to go and try to dig our way out of it. But physically, obviously, as well, this is something which we take very seriously. But I think it goes a lot further than that. Mima amakim means that we are crying from an absolute place of desperation where all hope seems lost. And we just go and we look up. Because Hashem, we have no other way of going and interacting with anyone else. There's no other way that we can be helped unless it's through you. And this is actually, when we start, the reason why we want to focus with this on the first pasuk is because this is the ultimate way to come to Hashem. When you have tefillah, that's coming from a place of Hashem, you are my first option. Before I go out and look at the other natural ways that things can occur, I am going to look to you. That makes it a much more powerful tefillah. This, in fact, in the Kodesh HaKadoshim, on Yom Kippur, the Kohen Gadol, so you have the holiest person in the holiest place, the holiest time, they have one chance to make a tefillah. You're not allowed to go in there the rest of the year. And even during that time of year, it's questionable, right? If you look historically, so in the times of the first Beis HaMikdash, so a Kohen would go in, usually they'd come out. And there weren't that many Kohanim Gedolim. But in the times of the second Beis HaMikdash, when there was more of a corrupt type of system, where whoever was the highest bidder became the Kohen Gadol, every single year the Kohen Gadol died in the Kodesh HaKadoshim. It got to the point where they were putting them in with a rope, so that way they'd be able to pull them out. Now it makes you think, would someone want to be, if you saw 50 out of the last 50 Kohanim Gedolim die on the spot, would you want to be a Kohen Gadol? So you might think no, but apparently kavod is a real thing, right? It can get better to have that kavod for just a little bit of time. Everyone thinks that no, it wouldn't be. It's fascinating, just crazy to think. But Kodesh HaKadoshim, Kohen Gadol, Yom Kippur, you have one chance to go and say any tefillah. So you would think you'd make this an amazing tefillah. You would only focus on the most fundamental things. It would only be things which, you know, are earth-shattering, life-changing, geula types of things. But one of the things that's mentioned is that you shouldn't listen to the tefillos we're asking. The Kohen Gadol is asking Hashem, don't listen to the tefillos of those who are walking home from being Ola L'Regel for them to say that it shouldn't rain. Eretz Yisrael needs rain. In Israel, we need rain. So don't listen to the people who are going to be walking home and saying, I really don't want it to rain on me right now. I didn't bring an umbrella. Please don't let it rain right now. Don't listen to those people at that time. And many of the Mefarshim are very bothered with this because that's what we're wasting our time. The holiest person, holiest place, holiest time of year. That's what we're asking for. That don't listen to the tefillos of those who are, I mean, I guess technically being selfish, right? They're not thinking of the betterment of the entire people. They're just thinking, I don't want to get wet right now. And that's the answer is that those people, when they're walking and there's nowhere else to turn except for Hashem, they can't turn to the meteorologist and say, please don't come out with it. They know it's not up to them. Hashem, please don't let it rain on me. I don't want to get wet. That's a sincere tefillah when you're looking directly to Hashem. And that type of tefillah is so powerful that we need the Kohen Gadol in the Kodesh HaKadoshim on Yom Kippur to go and counteract that type of tefillah. When you're going and directing your tefillos directly to Hashem, of course we have to do our hishtadlus, and we have to put ourselves in positions to be able to succeed. But when our initial request goes to Hashem, recognizing that ultimately it's up to Him, that is when our tefillos are most powerful. That's one explanation of Mima Amakim. Another explanation of Mima Amakim is that when all hope seems lost, that's when Hashem comes through. We can never be miyaish, we can never give up hope, no matter how dire the straits seem, no matter how far gone we may seem to think that we are, we can never give up hope. And this is something which has expressed itself in our parshios. Why does it have to be so often that the imahu struggled with fertility issues? Avraham and Sarah, the parents of our nation, they had to struggle to the point where he's 100, she's 90, she laughs because it seems so far gone, there's no chance. But embedded into our very DNA, says Reb Tzadok, embedded into our very DNA is the fact that even when all hope seems lost, we still have a chance. And that's what it's all about. Es tzemach David avdecha meir es tzmiach, the Mefarshim points out, means that the geula is compared to a tree. Why like a tree? Because when you plant the seeds, sometimes the seed disintegrates and it seems like it's all gone, and only then does it start to grow. That's what geula is going to be like as well. We got to be able to remember this idea and keep ma'amakim going. When we're davening to Hashem from the depths, we have to remember what it is that we are trying to interact with. But again, just on simple explanation, it seems like we're crying out from a place of desperation. We have nowhere else to turn, nothing else to do. David HaMelech seems to be really distraught right now. I have nowhere else to turn, I'm looking up. That's pasuk number one. Hashem Shema B'Koli, Tiena Aznecha Kashuvos L'Kol Tachanunai. English explanation, oh Hashem, listen to my voice. May your ears be attentive to the voice of my tfilos. Again, Hashem Shema B'Koli, Tiena Aznecha Kashuvos L'Kol Tachanunai. What we're saying is that we're going to cry out and we know that Hashem is going to be listening to us. Even though we don't always hear the other end of the phone, we don't always hear the response that we're necessarily looking for, we know that Hashem is listening to us. Rabbi Y.Y. Jacobson has a wonderful line where he once said, we focus on how big our problems are, but instead we need to tell our problems how big Hashem is. We often think about how big our problems are, but we need to tell our problems how big Hashem is. Things are real. Difficulties are legitimate. But we got to remember that Hashem could take us out of any situation at any time in any place. Tosfos quotes the Medrash, when it comes to Yom Kippur, that the meal that we have after Yom Kippur is somewhat of a celebratory meal. There's some sort of baskel that comes out after Yom Kippur and says, you've been forgiven, we're all good, we wear white on Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, because as the Mishnah Berurah tells us, we walk around with some sort of confidence that we think that everything's going to be okay because Hashem is in charge and we know the judge. We know that Hashem wants us to succeed, so we're going to be okay. We walk around with a certain type of confidence, but some are bothered with this because we know just mathematically, not everyone who is with us on Yom Kippur this year is going to be with us on Yom Kippur next year. Things happen, things come up, especially in a year like this. Things come up. So what exactly is this confidence coming from? What is it that we're supposed to really be feeling? How are we supposed to be interacting with this confidence? And the Mefarshim point out that if we really understand what we're doing on Yom Kippur, then we will understand with clarity what this means, that we're having some sort of celebratory meal. If we've done Yom Kippur the right way, it means that we've connected to Hashem in a way where we recognize that everything's coming from Him. Where we recognize that there's a plan, we might not understand that plan, but it's all coming from that place. And if that's the recognition we go with, we could be besimcha with anything, because that's what's supposed to be. Doesn't mean it's going to be easy. Doesn't mean we're going to enjoy every second of it. But it means that we're going in with the recognition that there's something happening here, and I just don't get it. This is what we've said many times, Ein Sayer Ke Elokeinu. When Chana goes out and cries and says, Ein Sur Ke Elokeinu, that there's no rock like Hashem, really it's Ein Sayer Ke Elokeinu, says the Gemara, that there's no artist like Hashem. Why? As we pointed out from Rav Shraga Feivel, he explains, when you have a world-class artist versus a kid artist. So a kid artist, they're building a, drawing a person. So they have a circle for the head, a line, a line, a line, a line. You know exactly what that kid is drawing as they're drawing it, because kids aren't all that great artists. But if you have a world-class artist, you have a little bit of black there, a little bit of red here, a little bit of blue, a little bit of green, and all of a sudden you have a, you have no idea what's happening. And you take a step back and finally the painting is done and you're, oh, that's what that was. Hashem is the ultimate artist. We don't understand why things happen and when they happen and what they happen for, but we know ultimately that there is a plan. Then we kind of shift in Pasuk Gimel. Im avonos tishmar ya Adonai mi'amod. I'm saying full Pesukim here, we could say Hashem's name. We say, if you keep a record of all of the sins, Hashem, who is going to be able to stand? This Pasuk gives us a good insight into why we say these Pesukim in this chapter of Tehillim during the times of the Aser Simei Tshuva. Hashem, if you're going to judge us totally based on judgment and the Midas Hadin, we got no shot. We need to go and have some Midas Harachamim in there. We need to be able to be helped. This is what we need. If you're going to base us solely on our sins, we stand no chance. But this goes part to the humility that we're supposed to have as we're davening. We recognize we don't deserve everything. And so often, this is something else that we pointed out. When you say, what is it? Lo yavin es zos. We say the pasuk in Mizmor Shir, we say ish ba'ara lo yedau chsil yovin es zos. That someone who is who's just uneducated, doesn't know things, doesn't understand. Uchsil lo yavin es zos. But the fool doesn't understand this. So some of the mafarshim say, what does this mean? What's this referring to? So they say, if you have someone who just is uneducated about everything and they don't know something, okay, that doesn't make sense. If they say they don't understand something, okay, I feel bad. I wish they were more educated, but I, you know, it makes sense that they don't know exactly what's going on. But a fool is someone who says, I don't understand this, meaning that I understand everything else. Meaning, why did this happen? but everything else, you get why it happened. So I don't understand why this bad thing happened, but all of the good that you have in your life and the fact that you're alive and the fact that you have this and you have that, that you do understand. That doesn't make much sense. It's very tough. It's a hard perspective to keep. But that's what the pasuk is telling us. We have to remember that if Hashem is judging us based on Midas Hadin, it's not going to be very good for most of us. Then comes a very interesting pasuk. Ki imcha haslicha leman tivarei. We say, the pasuk says, because forgiveness is with you, and therefore we fear you. Now this is a very strange pasuk. Why? Because we're saying, because Hashem forgives us, that's why we're afraid. Wouldn't it be the opposite? Because Hashem forgives us, that's why we're not afraid. Do all the sins you want. Hashem's going to forgive us anyway. So what exactly is it that we're so afraid of if Hashem is the one forgiving us? Rabbi Jacobson had a beautiful explanation of this. He said, imagine he was using a 2008 mushel. You know, you borrow $100 million from a bank to go and finance some sort of project, some real estate project, and then all of a sudden, markets tank, everything crashes, you owe $100 million to the bank. What are you going to do? So if the bank comes and says to you, you owe $100 million tomorrow, are you going to sleep that night? Probably, because like, it's not shayach. I'm not going to have $100 million for you. There's nothing that's going to happen. But let's say the bank calls you and says, listen, I know you don't have $100 million, but you're going to give me $1,000 a week for the rest of your life. Now you're more afraid, because now there's a plan. Hashem gave us the gift of tshuva. Because Hashem forgives us and gives us an opportunity to come close, that's why we're afraid, because now it's on us. We can never say, oh, this happened, that happened, I messed up here, I messed up there. That's fine. But because we always have the ability to come back, and because we're never too far gone in any way, now it's scary. Because now it's on us to make sure that we're stepping up and always doing what we're supposed to be doing. So, ki imcha haslicha leman tivarei. Then we have this interesting language of kivisi Hashem kivsa nafshi v'lidvaro hochalti, where we say, I hoped Hashem, my soul hoped, and I waited for his words. This double language of kivisi Hashem kivsa, many of the Mefarshim connect this to anything else come to mind of this double kaveh lashon? Kaveh al Hashem chazek v'yamitzli becha v'kaveh al Hashem. That we double down on our belief. When we daven for something, and it doesn't necessarily happen that second, and we feel dejected, what do? We double down. We daven again. We keep asking. We show that we recognize that it all comes from Hashem, and we're going to continue to ask. We're going to continue to push, and we're going to continue to see what we can do. Nafshi la Hashem mishomrim la boker, shomrim la boker. My soul is to the Lord, is to Hashem, among those who await in the morning, those who await in the morning. This is also strange because we say the same words twice. Nafshi l'Hashem mishomrim laboker, shomrim laboker. So one time someone was pointing out that you can't fully understand this pasuk until you're doing shmirah in a pretty dangerous area. You're doing shmirah and you're up there all night and you're just waiting for the sun to come out so you have clarity onto who might be trying to snipe you where. And you're able to see that those surroundings and you're like, okay, nafshi l'Hashem mishomrim laboker, shomrim laboker. I want this morning to go and come. Now what's interesting is that boker also represents when things are clear to us, when we're able to see more, right? This is another thing in Mizmor Shir where we say, "Lahagid baboker chastecha v'emunascha balelos," that we're able to go and appreciate the chesed of Hashem baboker v'emunascha balelos. When things are darker, that's when we need the emuna, because it's not always so clear to see. But baboker represents clarity, that we're davening for this clarity. But it's not just that we're davening for this clarity or we're trying to guard this clarity. This word shmirah, based on this week's parsha actually, has a very different meaning. We think of shomer as to guard, but really shomer is to what? Ah, to be mitzapa, right? To anticipate, to wait for something. How do we know this? Vaviv shamar sadavar, right? Yosef has these dreams, very good. Yosef has these dreams in our parsha, and his father, vayigar bo aviv vayomer lomach, alom azashar chalamta, and Yaakov saying, Yosef, how could you possibly do this? How could you say this to your brothers? Because he understands that his brothers are hating him, and this is just causing a ton of hatred, but Aviv Shamaris Hadavar. What does that mean? That he was waiting for them to come true. He knew that something good was happening. He knew that Yosef was going to be right, and he was waiting for that day that it was going to come true. Shemira doesn't just mean guarding, it means anticipating. This is what it means to be Shomer Shabbos. When you're Shomer Shabbos, doesn't just mean you're guarding Shabbos, you're making sure to keep Shabbos. It also means that you are anticipating when Shabbos is going to come. And that's what we have all week from our parsha. Nafshi l'Hashem mishomrim laboker. Shomrim laboker. We anticipate those days when we are going to be able to have that clarity to be able to see everything that we are hoping to see. Yachel Yisrael el Hashem kiyem Hashem achesed v'arbei movidus. Why am I saying Hashem's name sometimes and other times not? no reason. Total habit. So we say that Hashem, we hope to the Lord with kindness, with Hashem, we hope Kiyim Hashem HaChesed, because Chesed is with you, and much redemption is with you, Hashem. And then, V'hu Yifteh Yisrael Mikol Avonosav, because then Hashem goes and takes us, Mikol Avonosav, from all of our sins. Hashem goes and redeems us. Now, if we really break down this paragraph of Shir Hamalos, we'll find that there are really four separate sections of two psukim each. So there are eight psukim in this chapter, and we'll find that they're really broken down into four separate sections that seem to be totally different. If you look at the first two psukim, Shir Hamalos Mimala Kim Karsich Hashem, and then Hashem Shemaba Koli Tiana Znecha Kashulos Kol Tachanunai, both of those psukim are us calling out to Hashem. David HaMelech is in a very tough situation, and he's crying out to Hashem. That seems to be Psukim 1 and 2, part 1 of this Mizmor. When you're in a tough spot, you go and you daven and you cry out. Then the second section is kind of taking us a step back. We're asking for forgiveness. It kind of feels like we're on some sort of emotional, personal journey through this entire 8-pasuk roller coaster. You start out, Hashem, I'm desperate, I need your help. And then it kind of sounds like you're having some doubts. Wait a minute, why would Hashem help me? I'm a nobody. Im avonos tishmari Hashem miyamod. Hashem, if we're going to go solely based on what we really deserve, I'm in trouble. This is not going to be good for me. Ki imcha aslicha leman tivarei Hashem, I need you to forgive me. That's why I fear you. We're kind of going into this weird zone where we're like, Hashem, I need your help. Wait a minute. Who am I to be asking Hashem for any sort of help? But then we kind of emerge from that quasi-depression where we feel like we're nothing, like we're worthless. And we go into Kivisi Hashem kivsa nafshi v'gid v'roho chalti. And we're going and we're waiting for an answer. Why are we waiting for an answer? Because we recognize that we still do have a shot with Hashem. We start out asking. We then get into the doubt stage. But now we move forward and we start hoping. And we're yearning. Hashem, we're waiting for your answer. Nafshi Hashem mishomrim laboker, shomrim laboker. Hashem, we're waiting for that clarity. But what gives us that clarity, that confidence that maybe Hashem will answer us? That goes to the last two psukim, the fourth section, which is hope in Hashem because he's the Redeemer. But he's not just the Redeemer of individuals. Rather, when we attach ourselves to the klal, when we become part of the people as a whole, that's when we gain the confidence to be able to ask Hashem for anything. And that's Yachel Yisrael, a plural thing for all of Israel, that Hashem goes and we put our hope in him. Ki im Hashem ha-chesed v'arbei mofidos, because Hashem does chesed for all those who await. V'hu yifteh es Yisrael mikol avonosav. Not just Hashem redeems me. It started out as a personal request, and now it's for everybody. Hashem goes and redeems everybody. And the message is that when we connect ourselves to the Tzibor, that's when we are at our most powerful, our most strength. That's when we are most powerful, when we're able to connect to the Tzibor. And this is really the goal of the Yomim Noraim. This is why we say this chapter constantly throughout the Yomim Noraim, because we need to figure out a way to show Hashem that we are needed for the Tzibor. Doesn't mean you have to be the leader of this, leader of that. It means that you're part of the klal. When you're part of something bigger than yourself, that's when Hashem is going to look at us favorably. There's a stira seemingly in the Gemara and Brachos. The Gemara and Brachos tells us that if Hashem is angry, no one's going to be able to survive that threat when Hashem is angry. But then the other Gemara tells us that Hashem gets angry every single day. So how could it be if Hashem gets angry every single day that we're still here? Doesn't make any sense. And the answer is that one's talking about the individual, one's talking about the community. When you're part of the Tzibor, we can withstand the anger of Hashem, so to speak, because we create a situation for ourselves where we are part of something bigger than ourselves. And that's the way to go and blend in. That's the way to go and get these ultimate answers, Mima Amakim. We show that we are part of the community, that we're essential to the community, that we think bigger than ourselves. We daven for others. We sometimes even try to figure out a way to be the answer to other people's prayers. Why do we have such a focus on minyan? We have such a focus on minyan because oftentimes we'll figure out what others are struggling with. Sometimes you see someone davening in an intense way. You've got to go ask. Everything okay? Everything good? Not always. You have to kind of know who you're talking to and what it's about. But it's a way to figure out maybe you can be the answer to someone else's prayers. You have no clue if you're going to be the shliach that's going to be able to help them in that situation. It's an unbelievable thing to see. If we're able to be the shliach for that, that's something wonderful. The Gemara in Sukkah tells us about the biggest shul ever. Anyone know where it was? In Alexandria. In Alexandria was the biggest shul ever. In fact, when they wanted to say Yehi Shmei Rabba, when they wanted to answer Kaddish, you know what they would do? They would wave a flag because you weren't able to hear anything because it was so loud. It was so many people. So they would wave a flag and everyone knew what to do. The Gemara says, what's that? In the Belzer Shul, right? They have that as a zikr. Exactly. So they say when they would kind of arrange who would sit where, very interesting, they sat people based on profession. So the doctors would sit with the doctors, the lawyers would sit with the lawyers, the carpenters would sit with the carpenters. Why? Why? So the Mefarshim point out that the reason why they did this is because not during davening, but before and after davening, people can network with each other and they can get each other jobs. They can help people out. You could be the answer to other people's prayers. It's an amazing opportunity. This is a Beferish Gemara in Sukkah, an unbelievable opportunity to try to help others out. But that's really what it's all about. If we're able to go and think about others, this journey of Shir HaMalach Mi Ma'amakim, we're crying out with a personal plea. We're desperate for help. We then shift to, why would Hashem ever answer me? I got no chance. Wait a minute. V'lid v'ra'o ho'chalti. I'm going to wait for it because who yiftas Yisrael and we call avon ourselves. Because when we come together as a tzibor, when we join together, all together to say this parak of Tehillim, we tap into things that we can't even understand. And it helps us personally as well. When we daven for others, right? Chazal teach us, that's when you get answered first. Now, right, you have to plan this. But people have this all the time. They do these types of things. Different couples struggling with different things. Different people struggling with different things. Daven for each other. And that's how you try to make it that everyone can get a Yeshua. When we realize that we're all on the same team here, it changes the way we interact with ourselves and our tefillah. So, Mirtz Hashem, we should all be able to come out mima'amakim. We should all be able to come out on top and just good things ahead. We should have not necessarily the end of the war quick, but the proper conclusion to the war should happen very, very soon. Mirtz Hashem, we should be zocha that this should just lead us to good things. Shkoyach for coming.